Reality Daily, what's happening? It's your boy Naveed, and I'm here to talk about the Challenge 39 reunion part two. Yes, it's going to be a two-part reunion. Why? I'm not exactly sure. But there was some drama. There was some fire that I'm excited to talk about, and there's no one better to talk about it with than my man JB. How's it going, JB?
It's good, Naveed. Last episode of the season. It's been quite the ride, but excited to be talking all things challenge with you.
Yeah, you know, like, listen, we've gone through all the trials and tribulations of this season, the highs and the lows. I personally am going to miss Challenge 39, but I'm glad to see it go. What about you, JB?
You never want to, like, I'm not necessarily celebrating the fact that this season is over, but as most challenge seasons are, you know, a little drawn out, at least on the flagship version. I'm looking forward to All Stars 4. Maybe that's a better way to look at it. Happy that the season happened and ready for the next.
The best way I like to describe it to folks is that Challenge 39, it feels like a good palate cleanser. Like, do you think that's an accurate, kind of description of the season?
Yeah. I think that, you know, we saw kind of the Vacation Alliance and their saga, and they were able to kind of move their way through the rest of the last couple of seasons. So for this season, it was a nice change of pace, I guess. And it brought some, you know, it took a while, but it brought some really good drama at the end of the season. And that's what the season will ultimately be remembered for. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this season kind of changes the game moving forward.
Yep, I agree. So let's get into it now. For this reunion, there was some like drama that was retouched. I'm just going to talk about it at the top of this podcast just because I put them all in the category of who the hell cares. So let's go first with Big T and Corey. They just, I don't know, they kind of came to the conclusion that it's hard to hate each other. But again, who cares? And then you have Nerys and Jay. Again, Nerys says that Jay started feeling a certain way about Nerys and like her loyalty when she started hooking up with Horacio. But again, who cares? So do you have anything on those two beefs, JB, that you want to really talk about?
You know, they say that they are like not going to be friends. And I can definitely see that continuing. But also, like, I wouldn't hold it past them. There are certain scenarios where it would make sense for them to work together in the future. But it also could be hard to get both of them on another challenge in the future, unless they're both on 40, which I'm not too sure that's going to happen. But Rivals 4, maybe? I think they'd be an interesting pair for Rivals 4. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree. That'd be a lot of fun. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Zara and James. So, you know, they seem to have buried the hatchet. And even James kind of admits the fact that he was a bitch on the season, and which got a big laugh from everyone. I'm kind of glad that he's able to own up to it. And yeah, that's about it. It just seems like even Zara hasn't even like blocked James on Instagram or whatever. So it seems like that beef or what could have been for future seasons, it's kind of gone down the drain at this point. And I think there's a good chance we won't even see James in future seasons. Like, do you think we'll even see him back?
I think James is one and done. I have a hard time seeing like what he provides. If he's not with Mariah anymore, it doesn't really. His storyline's kind of complete, in my opinion. But it's nice to see that they've made up.
Yep, I agree. Okay, so this one, episode that we were always wondering what happened to Berna, but they saved her for this part, part two of the reunion. So Berna gets like brought onto the screen, similar to like with Horacio, where it's like who knows? I think it's because like Berna was filming Survivor Turkey or
Survivor Turkey, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it was like before that. So she's kind of all glammed up, and they kind of have her talk about her like relationship now with Colleen. So essentially, what happened is that postseason, Colleen apparently just like stopped responding to Berna, and kind of was just like, "Girl, the season's over." That's the type of attitude Colleen had to. Towards it all, and this kind of just turned into just like a shit on Colleen the segment, JB. Like, literally it was like a the who's who saying how they felt bad for Berna because like she was protecting Colleen, and now like Colleen shouldn't be so fake and like just be so obvious about the fact that she used her. But I think, like, out of everyone here, JB, I think Colin kind of has the most, like, this is a game attitude. And it's just like, why are y'all upset because it's a game? Like, are you happy to see Colin get shit on like this? Or do you think it's, like, unfair?
It's giving, these are my coworkers, and I'll be friends with them now, but I don't, if I see you out in public, who are you? Like,
yeah, we're colleagues. Kind
of, yeah, you know, I don't necessarily blame Colleen. You know, I think that the season was really hard on a lot of people. You know, it's mental warfare. They're in that place, you know, 5 weeks. They have very little contact with the outside world. And there's a lot of, like, mean-spiritedness at the end of it. And, you know, obviously Nerys dominated that, you know, end game, the conquest portion of the game, you know, her storyline as well, not just in terms of the challenges, but, you know, we didn't really see a whole lot of Colleen, you know, in, throughout the game. And she was kind of like on the outs the whole season. And I can see why she may feel a certain type of way about Berna. And yeah, I think like we saw a lot of people like Jay and James, a lot of people like took time away after the game and like didn't talk to anybody really after the season because they just needed to like get away from it. And I think that Colleen kind of adopts that mindset as well. And it shouldn't necessarily be seen as like malicious. But given that it's the challenge, you know, these people are going to take it personally. And it could follow her if she were to go back on another season. You know, she did place on the podium this season. You know, Colleen won money. Like, so it wouldn't surprise me to, like, see her back as someone that can kind of, like, slip through the cracks again. You know, she could be a very dangerous player if she were to come back on the 40. I don't necessarily know if she would win an elimination. But that's the thing is she was able to avoid elimination despite all the odds that were stacked against her. So I think that Colleen deserves a lot of credit for her performance this season. And I know it's a little bit off topic from what the question was asked. But, yeah, I think that, like, Colleen is very game-oriented. And she is, like, and she had her eyes on the prize the whole time. And then when the prize was gone, she didn't have any reason to put her eyes or her attention or her feelings towards anything that was related to the challenge.
And I'll say it, okay? Like, do you really want to continue that friendship with Berna after the game? Like, is Berna someone who you really like, like teary-eyed Berna, emotional Berna, who's, like, every other second accusing you of, like, not having her best interest? Is that really someone that you really want to have a tight friendship with post-challenge? I personally wouldn't. I would find that exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Berna is definitely, like, a character, and you have to, like, kind of put your... Yeah, it's take things with a grain of salt with her. And you can only take her in so many, you know, doses, let alone be there for 5 weeks, you know, 24/7 with her. So, yeah, I think that Berna is someone that could definitely help her in terms of a game relationship moving forward. But if they live in a separate country, I mean, I think Berna lives in Germany, though. Like, but then again, like, you know, they could be living on different sides of Germany. I don't even know. Like, they have a lot in common, and it made sense for them to befriend one another in the house. But, yeah, I just, you know, maybe more happened. And I feel like Colleen was definitely a little cagey at the reunion. She was kind of just, like, letting things happen. But at the end of the day, I think Colleen is very much aware of the fact that it's a TV show. It's, you know, what it is. It's not going to be my life. And that's the thing. That's the difference between Colleen and most of the other challengers. The challengers take things very personally, and it bleeds into their life because they play these games again and again and again. You know, it's not like Survivor where you play once and it's really, for the most part, everyone's only time, and then they kind of just go back to their lives. But for the challenge, like, this is their lives, so I can understand why it kind of takes things personally. But Colleen's only done two challenges, so it doesn't really like consume her life, I think, as much as some of the other people. Now, granted, Berna has also done two challenges, but she also did, you know, several seasons of Survivor, and, you know, it's just her personality to kind of, you know, take things the way she does. But yeah, that's kind of my thing on Colleen. Stay unbothered, Queen. Take your 40, 30K, whatever you got, and convert it to euros, and maybe we'll see you again. If not, good job, I guess.
Yeah, I think, like, you kind of have a point about, like, living, like, this is their lives now. And I think it's gotten even more and more, like, outrageous with how much these guys play the game 24-7, even outside of the seasons. Like, Alliance, the Vacation Crew Alliance is a perfect example of that. You know, like, these guys are flat out going on vacations together just to maintain these relationships, which I just find absurd. I don't even know if it was, like, that insane, like, 10 years ago, you know? So, I think it's just, like, nowadays, it's, like, with the challenge, everything is just, like, multiplied by 10. With like how personal everything is, so it's a bit nuts. But I think Colleen is just coming to the realization that maybe the challenge isn't necessarily the best format for her, because everyone takes it super personally, and it's just like very heavily reliant on like the actual physical portion to actually win. So we might not see Colleen in the future, but I think her villainous attitude and like cold style gameplay was appreciated this season. Okay, so now let's just get to the GOAT conversation. So what stemmed from all this, I believe, was I think Laurel was asked something along the lines of like, what advice could you give everyone for like improving their games or whatever? And then they also did like this little highlight package of all the champs coming into the game and like all this. And then it finally came down to the conversation of, okay, well, who's the GOAT? Who's like the best competitor and all that stuff? So for the woman, it was pretty much a clear choice. Like both Tori and Kara said it's Laurel. She's the consensus GOAT pick. Like I think Tori was very high on her, saying that like Kara's very good, but like when Laurel gets in the zone, she's just on a whole other level and all this stuff. Do you agree with that pick, JB, that like Laurel is the consensus GOAT for the woman?
You know, tough because like what is the scale, what like how are we, you know, saying this? Is it just like, you know, personal opinion? Is it, you know, challenges won? Because a lot of people may say that it's Evelyn, a lot of people may say that it's Kara. You know, Kara was the first person to win a season that was all together, men and women, and so I think that that earns her some credit. You know, she won a challenge with her cousin. And I think that deserves some credit. She's been to numerous finals. I mean, but then again, you know, there is Laurel, and Laurel should be part of the conversation. So, yeah, it's a very, like, rocky boat. And I think that they're going to kind of, like, it wouldn't honestly surprise me if, like, the 40th season is, like, a GOAT-themed season. Like, if GOAT is in the title, like, it wouldn't even surprise me. But I think what they're doing is they're trying to, like, set the scene for season 40. And that's when we'll find out. Going into it though, my money is on, honestly, like if Laurel versus Kara, I take Laurel, but Kara versus Tori, I take Kara, but Tori might be a better competitor than the both of them right now. And so that is like kind of, you know, like you could convince me of any of those three or Evelyn, at least right now, like on any given day. I could be swayed in either direction. I don't really have too much of an opinion.
I personally don't have much of an opinion on like the Kara and Tori because they both suck. But Laurel versus Evelyn, I think, is like very tough. And I think, you know, like you said, I could be swayed any day when it comes to those two. In my opinion, it can't be understated that Paula won because of Evelyn. Those two, like, Paula is a challenge champion because of Evelyn. Like, I just think that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, and people really don't give Evelyn enough credit for the way she kind of handled that season. And I think it's really impressive that win. So let's get to the men's side, though. So there was a conversation about Jordan being the best competitor and all that stuff. Devin said that, you know what, Jordan is a second because number one is CT, to which Tori says, girl, bye. Jordan is number one. Laurel said that, like, you know, because of like his handicap of having only one hand and all that stuff, Jordan has to be number one. Which I gotta ask JB, not whether or not you agree with this or not, but how bad do you feel for Bananas at this point? So he's not even in the conversation.
I think that's by design. I honestly think, like, because Bananas is the GOAT in my eyes. Like, there is no, like, but at the same time, you know, do I take Bananas or Jordan? right now, I'd probably take Jordan. And so that adds some, you know, consistency to it. But if we're looking at the greatest of all time, that means who has performed the best, you know, CT, Jordan, and Wes, and Bananas are all in that conversation. Bananas has the best resume, but CT is the most recent winner of the four, I guess, if you take away Jordan's All-Stars 3 win, which I think happened right after CT's win in 37. So, yeah, there's a lot of, again, factors that determine that. Wes has the most elimination wins, I believe. So, yeah, the Bananas should be in this conversation. The fact that they did, like, his lack of involvement this season is so bizarre to me. And I know that he was came up in the reunion also as part of like a Mariah segment, but like the fact that he wasn't one of the champs they asked back, like maybe there's something there between that him in production that is just like, maybe there's like a sour taste in their mouth. I don't know. Like that to me, that it wouldn't surprise me if there's something like that. Because it, like the way that he's been edited in this season has been kind of weird.
Yeah, and I think that I'm right there with you. Bananas is the GOAT because if people remember, like, that spree where he won, like, Rivals 1, he also won Battle of the X's, Free Agents, and all that stuff, that was CT in his prime. You know what I mean? Like that was peak CT, and he was still he still won those seasons. Like, and he even won one-on-one against him in the final in Battle of the X's. So I think it's just at this point, like, I just think that he's the best Bananas. And, you know, Jordan is good and all that stuff, but I think I would take CT as a number two. But I agree with you. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's because they're, like, frustrated with Bananas doing all these other reality TV shows. They're kind of expecting him to be just, like, a challenge lifer where he'll never do anything else. Or maybe they think that he's getting, like, a bit too big-headed and thinks that he's, like, worth more than he is. Or I have no idea. But you might have a point. There might be some issues between production and Bananas because it is very strange. So that's just that's it for me. But let's go over the... Okay, like I think this is a good point to segue because we're on the champions. We're just gonna talk about them because it was brought up nonstop ad nauseum throughout the reunion that Kara and Tori do not like each other. We keep seeing these clips of them like rolling their eyes at each other or making these like slight jabs at each other. JB, they are so obnoxious.
Yeah, like they really are craving the attention. Like it's just so like. It's so funny to me how like they just are like wanting so, and again, it's to set up 40. But it's like, it's a little too much, like stop forcing it down my throat kind of thing.
If anything, it makes me not want to watch 40. Like it makes me like, I just get more, I'm just like, why would I want to watch these two on my screen? Like, I don't know, like if it wasn't for the fact that we're like challenge lifers and we all love the show and we're gonna watch it till it goes to CBS or whatever, like if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't watch 40 just based off of these two because they're very annoying. It feels so fake, their beef. It feels like they're just grasping at straws to create drama. And I'm over it. I'm tired of hearing them like snicker and laugh and roll their eyes at each other. Like, shut up. Just like you two better put each other into an elimination for 40 and go at it for once in a while. If I see these two make it to the finale of 40 without at any point like fighting each other in an elimination, I'm going to call them both bitches, like pussies, like absolutely weaklings. Like Jordan and Bananas are prime example of two guys who actually hated each other enough to go into elimination against each other and like settle their differences. Like if you can't do that, ladies, then just like stay back home, sit on the couch. You guys suck. I better see like a hall brawl again between those two. I'm very fed up with them. Okay, anyway, so that's about it for Dakar and Tori. We talked about them. It's over. Let's just move on. Now we're going to go to the cheaters corner, as I like to call it, between Callum, Emmanuel, and Mariah. So Callum was already talked about last episode, and we're not going to talk too much about it. The one thing I wanted to highlight, though, JB, is that it gets revealed. Apparently, like Callum did not tell Michelle about the other girlfriend until like the premiere of this season. Like, that's fucked.
Oh, yikes. Oh, no. That is not good. Callum just... It gets worse and worse, I feel like, after every time.
And you know what's worse? James was defending Callum, saying that he's an all right guy. And I'm like, James, this is not
he's
the...
all right. All right.
Yeah, he's, okay. He's all right guy. It's just like, James, this is not the one that you want to this is not the hill you want to die on. It's a bit rough look there. And then finally, JB, I was excited. I was like, here we go. I'm grabbing the popcorn. I've been waiting for this moment. Emmanuel is going to get his shit like kicked in. All the women on the cast are going to call him out on the BS. They're all going to be upset at him for cheating and all that. They didn't give a shit. Like, they gave a segment to a man. He gave, like, this monotone speech, like all his speeches are, where he said that he feels bad. And then, like, when he went back home, he knows he made a mistake and explained to his girlfriend. And they broke up and all that stuff. And then they did, like, this funny segment where they're like, okay, who here has not hooked up with Emmanuel? It's like, girl, where is the same energy? I am so, like, it got me even more frustrated, JB. I can't lie.
Yeah, oh my goodness, like it's amazing because like this obviously like wasn't like the main plot point of the season, but it did happen, and it's crazy that this wasn't like the main. I feel like this could be like a main storyline, but Callum got like screwed at the beginning with the Chaos Mace and Devin called him in and won him that crapshoot elimination. It would have been interesting to see if Callum stayed in and kept this going and. To see where how far and how deep it would have gone. I feel like Callum, had he stayed in the game, would have really made this season even messier than what it was, because then like you had Mariah like all like always want to keep James in. You had Nerys trying to keep Horacio in, and then all of a sudden you got Michelle also trying to keep Callum in. Like it would have made for even messier of a season, and it probably would have made the mess start earlier. Than it did. It probably would have started midway through that chaos portion of the game. And I think that the season's result honestly may have been different. Maybe Emmanuel gets called down a little bit sooner and gets thrown into elimination, you know. So it could have changed the whole season, honestly, if Callum didn't go when he did. And, you know, we were kind of robbed of that, I feel.
It gets also revealed, by the way, that the reason why Callum got thrown in was because Devin was banging Jessica, and Jessica was like was apparently getting like bullied by Callum in the house. So Jessica told Devin.
Yeah, that was crazy too. That was yeah. So stupid. Like
what a crazy, like, what a crazy revelation.
I don't know if I believe that.
I don't know. I don't know either. But it's a crazy.
Why would he be hooking up with Jessica like right after the. So you're telling me Jessica got eliminated first, starts hooking up with Devin, and then Devin goes on? Like, that, what?
Devin moves quick. Devin moves quick.
Devin does move quick.
He wasn't wrong. He said he broke up with his ex, and he's going to bang all the girls next season. And I'm like, now I believe
Devin's
it.
Devin's not a cheater. Well, at least
exactly.
In this case.
In this case, that's right. Now, the next cheater is going to be Mariah. She says that she feels bad for what she did to Bananas. But then she says, by the way, Bananas is also a piece of shit because of the way that he was like hooking up with all these girls and there's all these other shows and all that stuff. So she doesn't feel too bad about it all. It gets confirmed that that Bananas was like 100% going to come on the season. But then he backed out because of like this whole entire Mariah and James Fuego. And then JB, they said that he had an ankle injury, which I don't know if I believe that or not. Maybe it was like a cop-out answer or
whatever. Who had an ankle injury? What?
Bananas. That's one of the reasons that he couldn't come on to the elimination, which I don't know if I believe necessarily. Because from everything that we've seen, Bananas has been, like, staying away from this season like the plague. He hasn't done, like, the Ringers challenge coverage like he did for 38 or 37. So I think there's a good chance that he just like doesn't want to have anything to do with this season. And then James at this point said they ask him like, you know, James, do you feel any guilt or remorse for the fact that you like went after a girl who was already in a relationship? He says that he doesn't feel bad because he doesn't know Bananas and there's no loyalty there. And I just got to ask JB, like, do you think there's kind of like a double standard in that where James kind of gets away with saying that he doesn't feel bad, but then like someone like Raven gets cooked by Berna the entire season for hooking up with Emmanuel?
I mean, look, if it's up to me and I know someone is in a relationship, you respectfully ask what the case is before. And if they say what they say, then so if Raven is going to hook up with Emmanuel and Raven knows that Emmanuel has a girlfriend back home, that's fucked. But how is Raven supposed to know that? Unless she asks Emmanuel, hey, what's up? And if Emmanuel lies to her, then Raven's in the clear in my eyes. Yeah. But if Raven knows there's a girlfriend and still chooses to get intimate, whatever, then that's on Raven and Emmanuel. Emmanuel's obviously in the wrong here. But Raven can be in the wrong, but Raven doesn't have to be in the wrong. It depends on the circumstance.
And you know who else is wrong in this whole entire thing? Berna, for blaming the woman instead of blaming Emmanuel, the man. And we'll figure out why in the next segment that we're going to call Hookup Revelations, because, JB, we've been theorizing this the entire season, and it turns out to be true. Berna went into the bathroom, Emmanuel followed, and then there was some moaning sounds. So it turns out that Emmanuel and Berna indeed at least made out or hooked up or something in the bathroom. That was revealed in the reunion. Are you shocked by this news?
The sky is blue. So I'll just leave it at that.
She is such a hypocrite, JB. She is such a... I am so on she the screw Berna. She was jealous. Capital and J that jealous.
That explains why Colleen is not fucking with her after the season.
Oh, I don't blame her. Like, that's like, it was crazy. Like, the clip was like nuts. Like, she just went to the bathroom and then Emmanuel like just like followed her, like, immediately. I was like shocked by it all.
How did they not include this in the original season?
I have no idea. I have no idea why they didn't include it. I think it would add so much to the whole entire storyline, and I think it would have been a lot more interesting. But you know what it is? I think they were trying to protect Emmanuel because he's going to be on 40, and they don't want him to be like looking like a piece of shit coming out of the season. So that's my guess.
Emmanuel's looking like a... I mean, what's the difference between Emmanuel hooking up with three girls when he has a girlfriend versus four?
That's my question exactly. Or, I don't know why. Like, what's their logic? I don't even know why they're not putting more heat on Emmanuel in general.
Because the thing with Emmanuel is he dodges it really well. He doesn't add too much drama about it. The girls that he is choosing to get intimate with aren't like malicious. So it's part of that. But at the same time, it's like Emmanuel knows and like deflects. And so that's PR 101. And he does a good job of doing that for himself. He like deflects the situation pretty quickly, and so
it's crazy. Yeah, I don't think we've seen like this level of dodging like drama since like I don't even know who. Like it's actually remarkable the way he does it. Okay, and then yeah, but the other revelation that we get for hookups is that Jay and Olivia apparently made out on the bus, which this gets interesting and spicy because Jay apparently has a girlfriend. So this is a rough season for Jay. Hey, JB.
Sky is blue.
Sky is blue.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
And Jay took it like such a douchebag. Like he was denying it, and he was like rolling his eyes, being like, "Oh my god, bro, we did not make out," and like all that. It was just rough. Like I feel bad for his girlfriend. That argument is gonna be something else. Let me tell you. That's way number 5,832 of how Jay got dunked on throughout these reunions. Let's get to the next one. Now, okay, so this clip has been going viral on social media. It's the one where Michelle's like, fuck that, and stands up and starts walking away. And everyone was wondering what in the world could have caused this whole entire situation. Well, as it turns out, JB, they made like a joke that like people in the house don't realize that mics pick up everything, and they're surprised that that Callum and Michelle thought that they could just like hide what they were doing in the bathroom when the mic picks up everything. Now the host of the reunion at this point like did like the way that she was saying it sounded like they were gonna like show a clip of them like making out in the bathroom. And I think rightfully so, JB. I think Michelle said, fuck this. What are y'all doing? Like, I don't blame her at all. Like, this is so, that's no, a really creepy thing.
Of course not. But at the same time, like, if Brennan and Emmanuel were able to hide, and Jay and Olivia were able to hide, I don't see why Callum and Michelle would feel like they couldn't hide it. But that being said, it's brutal. And I would say... I don't blame Michelle for not wanting to see that either. I wouldn't want to see it myself.
I would legitimately sue. Like, if I'm already trying to be like...
sue because it's a losing battle. But yeah, it's something that if I don't have to see it, I'm not going to.
I also don't think that, like, me, like, the moaning sounds of me or the girl I'm making out with, like, I don't think that those sounds should be coming, like, should be shown to the world, to, like, a national audience in, like, a clip or whatever.
But at the reunion. Same time... these people agreed to be filmed 24/7 in a house.
They signed up for the challenge, not the bang bust, JB.
Yeah, but these people, like, it's part of the contract. And, you know, Callum and Michelle, like, I don't blame people that have, you know, been on, like, this is their first time on reality TV, and they aren't, you know, they aren't totally familiar with the amount of, you know, like the invasiveness that reality TV brings. But Callum and Michelle are both, you know, challenge veterans, reality TV veterans. So I have no sympathy for them in like wanting that, like not to see. But I don't blame Michelle for not wanting to watch it. But for it to, like, you know, still be a thing, like I don't have any remorse.
Yeah. All right, well, let's wrap it up. So the last thing that they're going to do is going to be the tuna and beet smoothie, where it's kind of like a fun challenge where the champions can join in as well. Whoever drinks like this cup of beet and tuna smoothie first gets an extra $2,500. Emmanuel wins, and so that means that he gets an extra prize pool for the season. And personally... I fast forward this bit, but JB, were you happy to see such a fun challenge or I guess like fun ending to a reunion?
I guess Emmanuel's win is now justified because he beat a veteran.
That's right. That's right. So he is the champion of champions when it comes to tuna.
I guarantee you that $2,500 was probably spent that weekend, or wherever, like however much time they had.
Probably on hookers.
I don't know about that.
Emmanuel's very horny, so maybe $2,500 immediately on cocaine and hookers.
God, that's wild. And they were in Amsterdam, so I mean, what happens in Amsterdam stays in Amsterdam. It's like Vegas for Europe, I feel.
Yep. All right, so that's about it for reunion part two. Anything else that you want to touch on, JB?
Honestly, like, we didn't talk a whole lot about Nerisse and Jay. I thought that moment was, like, kind of weird. Like, Jay trying to deflect and Nerisse. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like Nerisse just got played. And I wish she would kind of own her game a little bit. And we didn't really see a whole lot of that in the reunion. And look, to be fair, like, Nerisse has every right, like, Nerisse is the victim of the season, and I don't blame her for playing the victim, because at the end of the day, she's not playing the victim, she is the victim. But that being said, you know, she played the game, and she got played in the game, and I don't think that she has fully, you know, recognized that, because it was so personal. It was a very personal, you know, jab that she got from the two people who she did consider to be the closest for her. So I would say, like, as shitty as it, like, I don't want to blame, like, I don't want to say, oh, Nerisse is kind of overdoing it, because, you know, she experienced some very raw emotions, and like, I don't blame her for feeling the way she does. Feelings are never wrong, but I do think that, you know, she got played. And I don't think that she has taken that into consideration, because it was so personal for her. But at the end of the day, like, I don't, like, what Jay and Olivia did was wrong. But at the same time, it's like, in a way, it's like, welcome to the challenge. I hate to say it, because I like Nerisse, but I do feel like she got challenged and she got screwed because of the challenge. I don't think this happens in any other environment. So that's my whole thought on that.
And I think her first season with what's it called again? Nelson was like a pretty like kumbaya and relaxed season for her. So I think this was like a very new welcome to the challenge type of moment. So
it was a welcome to the challenge season for a lot of people, including Olivia. And I do feel like Olivia got more of an experience on her first season because she was thrown into elimination so many times and she was targeted all throughout the season. She made the final. She got injured in the final. But I just think that this was a welcome to the challenge season for a lot of people, and that's what made the season so messy, is that people were unaware of how much the game was going to be played. And it's because Michelle and Jay, two survivor people, arguably the biggest game out of any of the previous shows anybody came on, were running the game. And that's what set the tone for this season. And the relationships that they built and they had also set the tone. And it's ultimately what pushed the season in the direction that it did, until the final when both of them were gone and it came down to who was left. And Emmanuel just happened to be the best of the rest. So ultimately, like, this season, I think it was a good season. Like, we definitely could have gotten a worse season, I can tell you that, in terms of drama, in terms of what actually happened. I don't necessarily think this season is going to be remembered for Emmanuel winning, but I do think it will be remembered for the drama that it caused down the stretch.
Yep. Alrighty, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you for the ones who've been with us the entire season. That's Challenge 39 in the books, our second challenge season overall that we've covered over here at Reality Daily. I mean, the first one was Challenge USA Season 2. So we're 2 for 2, JB.
Yes, and we'll be back for the All-Stars 4 season, which starts April 10th. So we're looking at about a month off for you and I when it comes to challenge coverage. But we are we cover a lot here at Reality Daily. We cover The Traitors Season 2, which ends this week as well. We are starting to cover the new season of Survivor, Season 46. So that is something to check out if you are a Reality Daily consumer like you and I are, Naveed. So be sure to check those out. Like, comment, subscribe, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yep. Thank you guys for listening. Bye.